you very much for your
welcome, UFO.
What means that it is?
I'm happy for the privilege, for such it is, to address the called of God, to be so favored, to find the elect, and to be even more graciously favored to address the elect. Brethren, God has been giving us the messages which underline the fact that we are the called out ones, that we have been given this great privilege. Now, I've been so excited about this series, I can't wait for the Sabbath to come. Every day I'm in very deep meditation on the issues. I want to be thorough. And even though I'd left work at 2 o'clock on Friday morning, I was very tired with all the duties. And I've been slapped at the last minute to write the throne speech, which will be delivered earlier series, Thursday for the throne speech. And Wednesday is a holiday, which means that I have to be at work all day. Now, I told the Minister of Finance, whom the Prime Minister has designated as the person responsible for the throne speech, even though the throne speech is given by the Governor General, it's actually written by the government. It's really a government document. You just read what he's given. It's really a political document. So Omar is in charge. So Omar called me yesterday and said, well, so you're going to give me a thing this evening. I said, listen to me. From sunset this evening, I'm a strict Jewish man. From sunset this evening, just sunset tomorrow, I do no work, no matter how important it is the evening. So he said, well, it's a good thing. Sunday is no thing. I said, yeah, you can do it for Sunday because Sunday is an ordinary day. But when it became known, you know, on Thursday, one of the people up at the office of the Prime Minister said, well, you know, hear him, you know. If now work on a Saturday, you know. So when I'm talking about team, people will start work. Because they suddenly realized, well, can't tell you all the mix up. When them thought, one person thought they would do it, and the other person thought they were doing it, and then suddenly realized, no. So, they know of my reliability. So, but I told them that, no, that's going to be very difficult. It's going to be even difficult for Monday night. But so apart from the Sabbath, which is law, Monday now is another challenge. Because as Omar said, well, I have to give the cabinet what you write by 12 o'clock. Whatever you do with it, whatever Sabbath you keep, make sure 12 o'clock Monday, cabinet has to see it. Which means that there are going to be other corrections and various things. This Monday night is going to be a challenge. But Monday is, it's almost like a Sabbath, you know. So know that I have to be at the meeting, if it means going back there after. But Monday, that's another non-negotiable one. One Monday will come, but hopefully it's not this one. I know Brother Smith will cover for me, but I am going to tell him again, no. So, I'll rest up tonight and won't go to dinner as usual so that I can give the best to Caesar tomorrow. But we have to have our priorities right. And I tell you, there's a bad flu going around. I've been fighting it. I tell you about my Panadol secret, you know, my Panadol multi-symptom and all that kind of thing. Along with I get some good honey and Guinean weed. Ah, combination. Yes, my, you have to know where to get these things. Honey, good Guinean weed. Excellent. Excellent vitamin C and all that. Actually, because I was right at the funeral, I had to officiate at the funeral, and the dust affected me. So by Monday, I wasn't well because of the whole inhalation of the red dirt. They really dread. So I was coming down with something. Actually, on Sunday night, I intended to read when I go home and think. I fell asleep 5 minutes before profile ended. I was in bed from about 7:30. Thought I would get up at 10 o'clock to read it. Could not get up. Sunday mash me up. So I had a 13-hour in the bed on between Sunday and Monday. That was good. So I successfully fought off with my remedies by Tuesday, but yesterday pressures again. But despite that, I was up until 1 o'clock this morning working on my presentation here and back again this morning, because this is the priority. We have to do what we have to do with quality. Serve the brethren and also serve. So I'm happy that the truant speech was last week, because last week I had church duties. So you need to pray for me, because I have, to be able to do all the things I do, 3 television programs, a heavily researched column. Column is like a scholarly paper, I'll tell you. When you're in the academy, if you're able to produce one essay a year or two, that's considered very well. I do it every week. So you need to pray for me, health and strength and whatever. Plus, my goal when I started the year was to be able to see more people. So every week I'm seeing brethren, and have to be working very hard on behalf of the brethren. So while I'm doing my doctoral series, people have them practical lives to deal with and problems. So I have to be dealing with that. You need to pray. Spend time praying for me. Health, praying for my emotional state. Pray that the Lord keeps me. It's very, very important. Your prayers are very important. That I always keep focused. I tell you, doing the research for this series has been so exciting. So it has re-stimulated my faith and has again reinforced me in the truth. And, I'm seeing more and more where I couldn't be anywhere else. And today I want to address what is Christianity? What is Christianity? What is a Christian? Who is a Christian? And I want to begin. I want a mic to go around. Whoever is responsible. Because I want to ask, especially my visitors first, how do you recognize a Christian? My tall man from upper Stony Hill Academy. Yeah. Church of God. No, that one. Yeah, man, you carry the mic up yourself. Oh. And Jason, don't want to go far. How you define a Christian? What is a Christian? How you recognize a Christian? Get a tall man over here. Yeah. What is a Christian?
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yeah. They can't stand up to you. But I'll be shy.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yes.
Could you ask the question again?
What a Christian? How you know a Christian? How you see and recognize a Christian? Recently, when the debate in the ganja debate, a part of the new ganja law said that rastas will be allowed to cultivate a certain acreage of ganja. So Tom Tabaris finished the ask. So how you define a rasta? How you gonna know when a man come? And a violent man come and say I'm a rasta, you're gonna say because I'm a black. So the whole definition of a rasta. So we come now, like a Christian. How you know a Christian? What is a Christian? Like, how you recognize a Christian?
All right. In my definition,
yeah,
Christians are followers of Jesus. Correct?
No, well, all right. They're followers of Jesus. What it means then to be a follower of Jesus? What I'm saying.
They must
accept Jesus.
Think in the book of John 13, verse 35.
Yeah.
The disciples were asking, "How you know a disciple?" And Jesus told them, by the love for each one, you know that you're my disciple.
Very good. So the love.
Yes.
So the love would be a big thing to show they are Christian.
Yes, and bearing the fruits of the Spirit.
Ah, so it frees the Spirit. Them peaceful, them patient, them are good people. Them live clean.
Long suffering and having temperance.
Ah, that's what I expect. So that's a Christian. They follow Christ.
Yes. And
they have love.
And also, you can strive to be a Romans 12 Christian. Romans chapter 12. You
so
can.
Still good living again. Good living, forgive people and
yeah.
Live good. So that's a Christian.
Yeah.
Good. Anybody else? I need another visitor. That's a Christian. Live good, live clean, a lot of patience. So on. So, Jason, give a fellow another back. Jason, give Jason another back. Jason, what's a Christian? What's the kind of identifying mark? So you show that the person is a Christian. Yeah, Jesus.
In the Bible, Christ was speaking to the disciples. And Philip said to Christ, every day I tell you about this, Father, Father, Father. Show us the Father that we may be pleased. And Christ said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you know not the Father? I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. What he was actually saying to them is this, which is different from the Pentecostal take. He's not saying to them that I am the Father. He was saying, when you see me, you see the Father. Because what God interested in is your knowing what he is characteristically, not what he appears to be. So that like some Rasta man, they need to see an image, they need to see a drawing, they need to see a face, need to see a person, need to see something you can touch. But the righteousness of Christ, which Christ brings, which is the characteristics of God, that is invisible.
Yeah, but tell me how you recognize a person now as a Christian. Come to that now, man. Because you're invisible thing now. That means that we can't. How can you see a person?
That is the premise. So how you recognize that?
A Christian, how you recognize
that? You recognize Christianity.
Yeah.
First and most essential thing to recognize in a Christian is a person
first
who is willing to overlook the trespasses of another person.
Sorry? So forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
That's the first thing.
That's the first thing.
I'm willing to forgive, yes?
Willing to forgive.
Person. Yeah.
Other thing that you have to look at.
Sorry, you might have work out. I'm not here clear. So forgiveness is the first thing. A forgiving person. Make sure you have a good mic. Yeah.
Yes, you have to be a forgiving person.
Forgiving as the first thing.
The question for me is not, you see, I'm kind of hitching and drawing along that answering the thing because it's not important for me to identify, to label you as a Christian. What is important for me is for me to be a Christian.
That's right. So how would you recognize that you're a Christian? So forget about us. Forget about judging us. Tell me how you recognize yourself.
So you're asking me now, what am I?
Yeah, how you recognize yourself as a Christian? Yeah. What makes you a Christian? Yeah.
I am a Christian because I follow passionately the righteousness of Christ.
So, and by that, define that. We say the righteousness of Christ because that's a definition that has been conflicted. What is the righteousness of Christ? What you would do?
The righteousness of Christ. Yes, the righteousness of Christ is essentially a love for everybody.
Ah, love for everyone. Same thing with the brother said, love for everyone.
And I have said this often. If your Christianity stops at the point where you cannot forgive that man who murdered your mother last week and your brother and raped a sister, and you cannot forgive him this week.
True.
When he steps to you and asks for your forgiveness, your Christianity is not worth talking about.
Yes.
Your Christianity must be something like this. I'm driving in the car and you're beside me as a Christian. You say, I'm not a Christian because I'm in the erring and things like that and may smoke weed and things like that and believe some other different things from you. Which you find to be Christianity.
Yeah, what that?
I am in the car, I'm at the stoplight.
Yeah.
Those guys with the thing wiping your windshield, they come up to me and they want to wipe my windshield, but my car windshield is already clean.
And you run them,
So no boss, nobody touch it. Still take out my $20 and give you for the work what you not do.
True.
But in me, for me, I see and observe a quality in you. It's not that you actually don't do the work, but you wanted to do the work. Which means for me now, you're a man who's worth rewarding. Now, the Christian person there beside me, mainstream Christianity I'm talking about, that person now will look at me, Jason White, and say, Jason, you know, you know, forget them man, they've got fines. You know, give them man, that's the man, you know, give the, you know, girl a little man come beg you and them a little con man, the man they a con man. No, me don't know if I'm a con man. And I rather give to 1,000 con men to get to the one person who needs it.
Good.
Because with God we can't lose.
Alright, so in all, the Christian person is a person who does acts of goodness and charity and love.
Yes.
That's what I identify him as, yeah. Another person who is, yeah.
And the last thing is that person must recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Ah, so must recognize Jesus. Alright. Okay, so must recognize Jesus is Lord. Alright, so that's the definition of Christmas. Christian, and any other visitor? Any other, no, you're Armstrong, man. I don't want to really hear from you here right now. You are new. Yes, Mackenzie. Tell me. Yeah, Mackenzie, you are new. You're coming from the Pentecostal movement and so on. I'm interested to hear from you. What is a Christian? How you identify a Christian?
Well, firstly, the Christian is a term that was defined by observation. I would say it's a disciple whose belief and practice does not conform to worldly norms.
Okay.
Whose belief and practice, lifestyle, does not conform
to
worldly norms.
Yeah, they leave it big. All right. So, yeah. So that's immorality. The person must be a moral person.
No, not necessarily moral.
Not just moral. Oh,
no,
it goes beyond
there
that.
Are non-believers who are
moral. Yes, all right. You're learning fast. All right. So that a Christian must not be according to worldly norms. All right. So that's good. That's what I'd ask about this. Yeah. So it mustn't be according to worldly.
In other words, the person's practice demonstrates their belief.
All right.
In
so you're
Christ
going to
Jesus.
Doctrine. So that means that the doctrine would be important. The person must understand doctrine.
Yes, belief,
what are the correct doctrines that distinguish between the worldly customs with a Christmas Easter them thing there.
Yes,
so that's so all right. So you come into the practice.
Yeah.
Anybody else? And you know, you don't have to agree. Sister Madge, you want to give us, and you will be on. You're not going to give me the party line. So you know, give me your view as to what is a Christian? How you recognize a Christian? What's the essence of Christianity?
Pleasant good afternoon, Pastor Boyne.
Yes.
In my view, I think a Christian is a person who has the Holy Spirit and bear the fruits of the Spirit. So I am in agreement with those brethren who talk. I am also
fruit.
In agreement with them, but you need the Holy Spirit.
So the fruits of the...
Yeah.
Of course, that no real thing, how you get the Holy Spirit and so on. All right. Now, I would dare say that if I interview the majority of people anywhere in Christianity, the first two respondents would be representative of them. That they would recognize a Christian by moral norms, love, forgiveness, acts of service, acts of goodness. In fact, if you're at work and a person looks at you and says, "Why you look like a Christian, you behave like a Christian," you know they are not talking about your denominational beliefs. They don't know whether you go to church Saturday, Sunday, or whenever. What they are looking at is your lifestyle. That's how people judge Christianity. They're looking at your lifestyle, they're looking at your deeds. They don't really care about which church you go. That is how people outside of churches recognize Christianity, and that is how people in churches recognize Christianity. Now, today we want to examine those popular notions in the light of the Bible, which is the text that Christians hold to. And I've thought about this very deeply over the years, and I'm not surprised by the answers that have been given. And, you know, knowledge is a very important thing. Exposure is a very important thing. Because I deliberately today brought this thing called World Scripture, an anthology of sacred texts from all the major religions of the world, and from even the African tribal religions. This is a massive document. You have Bible in your hand. This is all the Bibles in the world, the Janus literature, Confucian literature, Sikh literature, Sufi literature, Buddhist literature, Hindu, Muslim, literature of Judaism, African primary religions, Afro, Catholic Christian, Mister, we'll come to that. Afro-Caribbean, so on. It's a world scripture. In here, I have quotations from all the world religions that will take in everything that Jason talk about and that tall man talk about. Non-Christian sources. I can quote you things from the Gautama Buddha who lived 500 years before Christ. All that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount was already said by Siddhartha Buddha. There was nothing that Jesus spoke of ethically, that was different from what was in Buddhist and Hindu texts. We grew up in a little fundamentalist country like Jamaica, of course, where the only moral people we know are Christian people go to church. If you lived in Britain or in Toronto or New York or some other cosmopolitan place, Los Angeles, where you're working with people of different religions, New Age people, New Thought people, and so on, Baha'is, you would recognize the common view, the very common view, the common view of Christianity is about morality. Jason said that the first thing is a forgiving person. Man kill you, your mother, rape you, 3 daughters for the week, your willingness to forgive, that same week, that's what guarantee you. Well, I have quotations from various world religions that show an acceptance of that. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you say that Christianity is morality and love, and yes, Jesus did say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. He did say that was a distinguishing mark, and Yahweh is love. But if you take a reductionist view, and now say that, well, what Christianity is love, you run into a serious philosophical and theological problem. Why? Which is weird, no, that's why Mackenzie escapes. Of all, Mackenzie escapes, because Mackenzie said, no, it's not just a matter of morality, you have to be from worldly norms and whatever. I quote you, for example, from Chuang Tsai, a major thinker in the Confucian religion. Listen to this. It's not Christian, Confucian. Chinese Confucian. All people are my brothers and sisters, and all things are my companions. Show deep love toward the orphaned and the weak, and to those who are tired, infirm, crippled, or sick. Those who have no brothers or children, wives or husbands, all are my brothers who are in distress and have no one to turn to. That's not a Christian. That's a Confucian who don't believe in Jesus Christ at all. And yet he fits what Jason says is the major thing of Christianity. What the problem I run? No, the young people especially should be interested in this series and this particular message. The youth should be interested. Especially those who have reached university. Because they should start asking themselves, why am I part of this religion? My parents drag me every Saturday. I wonder why, what is this about? Why am I here rather than somewhere else? The youth should be interested in what I'm exploring in this series. Because the youth should really say, what is this about? You know, if I happen to have been born in a Pentecostal, who might be going to Pentecostal church? If I was born in a Seventh-day Adventist, who might be going to a Seventh-day Adventist church? If I was born in a church of God Seventh-day, who might be going there? Just by accident, get up tomorrow in the Armstrong High to woman, me, I come to Armstrong High Church and believe there's the one true church. The youth should look forward to the series and say, no, the series are past. I might be doing it for one purpose, but We might actually use it just to say, when he might talk about an Armstrong, the whole thing of foolishness, because I'm a lead me to start thinking about the whole thing and question everything. The notion that we have of what is Christianity, I bet you that most of your notion have to do with morality. We talk about what is a Christian. How people judge a Christian? We judge Christian by behavior. In fact, a lot of people are very annoyed about this teaching about true church. The number of people I have annoyed, some I've turned off, and they come back. They hate when I talk about what a true church and false Christians are. They're turned off. There are people who have come here to hear the gospel, according to them. They want to hear about the love of Jesus. They want to hear how to better their lives. I remember one person used to come and she wrote me and said, listen, when I have a hard week and I come, because I want to hear some encouraging words and inspiration. And you are telling me who true and who false and all that. That's a waste of my time. She wasn't that blunt, but that's what she was saying to me eventually. So she eventually left and got somewhere so she could hear good advice. Let's think about it. Seriously. Because the view is, look how the JLP all divided among itself. People turn off, people tired of the world fighting. And Christians who are supposed to be different, Christians who are supposed to emphasize Jesus and unity. I worry about who I worship on this day and who, when I'm baptizing at this new man, forget about all them things and worship the Lord, man. That's why a lot of people say, them can't bother with no church, them just have a personal relationship with Jesus. People are tired of church, man, too much quarreling. Who baptized by immersion? Whether by sprinkling? Whether you're a baby, you baptize baby, are you baptized infant? Whether Jesus is a 3-in-1? A 2-in-2 or a 1? The churches have all these doctrinal things. Why we don't just worship Jesus, man? Look about poor people on the road, about sick people we pass. Why we don't just take them up like what Jesus did, take them up and look after them, bind them wounds. And visit, you're sick, you know, visit me and all them things, man. I'll sat there rather than that, but why we not go to a KPH all this evening? Go to pray with people, man. They spend over hours and go through series of talk about doctrine. When there's so much suffering in the world, the churches should be coming together to pray for the world, to pray for corruption in Jamaica, to pray for the world together, to pray for Jamaica to get better. We are fighting against one another. That's true, and the brother said, man, that's true, man. He said, that's true. Yeah, man, I'm getting the thing. A fight over whether you should wear makeup or whether how long your dress should be. Or you should wear a hat. You do all them doctrine where you come out there. Man, I spend over time with that. Help people to improve their family life. Help people to think positive. Help people to go back and work hard. Help people to be able to rear them children, man, and live godly lives. True religion is this, to visit the fatherless, to look after the poor and the widows. A true religion that emphasizes over doctrine. Very compelling arguments. Very compelling arguments. I've been acquainted with them for years. I've internalized those arguments. Examining them today. Thinking person's message today. So tall man says love, righteousness, thing. But Jason bring in Jesus is Lord. It's a difference now. So the major thing that Christianity has been identified with, moral living, moral transformation. People are better. You turn on TV and you hear some wonderful testimonies. People are drug addicts. People are wife beaters. People are criminals. I have a former murderer to interview for a hard talk, Candyman, who was one who murdered a lot of people. Got saved under V.T. Williams' ministry. Not somebody, but got saved, changed his life. Candyman stopped murder, Candyman going on helping people. I have another murderer from U.S., get deported, coming on soon too. Change now, going around, talking to people, going to schools, giving out of motivational talks in schools. Was a murderer, was a drugs seller and all that kind of thing. Tremendous change through Christ. People say that's Christianity. The thing about it, I want you to lead you to think though. Let me start with some facts. Let me start with some facts first. For those of you who reduce Christianity to that. So when I talk about doctrine and all that, you say, man, tell me how to make another day, man. Tell me how to get over my depression. Let me forget over my long resentment toward my mother, toward people. That's just, tell me how to live like Christ. But I want to tell you, if all that Christ is to you is a moral teacher, if Christ is a moral teacher and a moral exemplar to you, you're very ignorant. I don't mean cross. I mean you're uninformed. You really don't know much. I'm not insulting. I'm respectful. I'm just being factual. In other words, the Muslims accept Jesus as a moral example. In case you don't know, you cannot be a Muslim if you don't accept Jesus. Tell me how many of you didn't know that. Put up your hand. How many are you inside here? Because when you see a Western thing, when you think Muslim is just ISIS and Al-Qaeda. You didn't know. You live in England and you go abroad and all, can't you? So you more think, you got exposure. You don't have to go to university. You live in London, so you know how, can't you? To be a Muslim, you have to accept Jesus. The Muslim religion, in case you don't know, is one of the three great Abrahamic religions. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They are in the same stream, in case you don't know. You follow, but because CNN are carrying on about Muslim people who broke themselves and all that. That's an extreme faction of Muslim. That is not all that Islam is. Most Muslims renounce those people the way we renounce them. Do not let them people define Christianity. Just like how we have some mad people in Christianity and mad people in the Armstrong movement, like Flurry and Pak and these people. Same way, we have our mad people, you know, we have our version of ISIS, you know. Flurry and Trumpet, these are the mad people in the true Church of God. You don't define me, you don't put me in a category of nonsense with Flurry and them thing there. Or insult me. And associate with Trumpet, or Real Truth magazine, and nonsense. Or with one Wineland and all that. He's in a prison now too. And from prison he must say that, you know, Christ will come next year. That is nuts in Armstrongism. Don't associate me with that. So the fact of the matter is, Islam accepts Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. Islam accepts Jesus as a great moral teacher. All the things that I was said here about morality and so on, Islam accepts. Unless you say, well, boy, in the Quran itself, you know, it's still about jihad and killing. Well, you're looking at the Old Testament. The Old Testament tells that people blast you, if you stone them and kill them. The Old Testament tells you a whole heap of categories of people must be killed. So you don't pick on Quran. It's in our Bible too. In a different context of a theocracy. Don't pick on where it's in the Quran. The same thing about blasphemy. That them killed what is called the extremists who killed the Charlie Hebdo people because of blasphemy. Well, Leviticus says if you blaspheme Yahweh, you must be killed also. You didn't know that? Okay. So don't pick Pam Muslim and them book, it's in the book, you know, Pastor. Don't be like Obama. Obama can't talk. Obama is just talking about extremism and can't say it's in Islam. Well, it is in our Bible. But don't overlook the many passages in the Quran that talks about love, that talks about goodness, kindness. What thing that talk about forgiveness? That is in among the Muslims too. Let me read you some things from the sacred text of the world. The great thing about coming to church here in Abuja, you learn comparative religion, you learn world affairs. Let me tell you about the Jainist religion, Jainism. You know, talk about Christianity. The Jains are so devout. I've told you before, they walk with a broom to sweep lest any insect they step on. Ahimsa, non-violence. Insects. The Dalai Lama, people have interviewed Dalai Lama, fly and mosquito come. The Dalai Lama does not believe in killing a mosquito. Because the Hindus and the Buddhists believe that all life is saved. Because human beings can come back as a mosquito. They laugh and all kind of thing, whatever. But it makes them respect all life. That's why the Hindus and so are vegetarians. They don't kill. Even though, of course, vegetables are life. You know, they can't do better what they would say. You know, so they get them run apart. But whatever. A lot of us as Christians who reduce Christianity to morality and good living. If we were reading people, we would have known, say, that is Christianity. There is nothing special about Christianity. Long before there was Christianity, there were religions teaching all of the good advice things that are in here. All of those things were taught and very eloquently before Christianity. But you don't have to go further. Who left? Those of you who accept the Old Testament. The Old Testament is God's word. What else? In terms of morality, is there a big difference between the Old and New Testament? I'm not talking about that God ordered certain things. Forget about it. In terms of the ethical teachings of the Old Testament and New, is there some radical difference? No! The only difference that Jesus came and said, I have incarnated love. Love as you have seen me live. Because there was never anybody who lived it out. But all the ideals are in the Old Testament. The thing about loving your neighbor, he said, that is in Leviticus. Loving your neighbor, he said, is in Leviticus. The Bible, Old Testament, tell you, say, if you see your neighbor acts in a ditch, you must take it out. So the Jews who have the Old Testament, who don't believe in Jesus, the Jews who can't follow all what Jason has identified as Christianity, the Jews out, except Jason, come and talk on the Jesus part. Me soon reach this out. He's smart. And talk on the Jesus as Lord. Soon come to that part. So the Jews, tell me what Jesus, you might say, well, all right. Jesus come on him and say, you have heard it said. He was talking about Jewish oral tradition. But if you look at the Torah, Jesus was not contrasting himself or what he was bringing with the Old Testament. All he was saying was that he came to magnify the thing, but he was not saying him come with no higher moral thing. Jesus came with no higher ethical standard than what was in the Old Testament. Listen, for that to sink in, he came with no higher ethical standard. Except that he was the revelation of the Father. He demonstrated what love and what selflessness was in his life. He was a walking Old Testament revealed. But the things were in the Old Testament. So what am I telling you? A whole lot of Jews today, all them have is still the Old Testament. So everything we want to mention, we want to impress with, them have it. And yet they are not Christians. That should make you start think that Christianity is not the thing that was mentioned here today. And is not the thing that is regularly mentioned. So when you go to church and all you hear about is good advice and good living and good, and you think that's Christianity. You're not thinking. If every week all we were to preach is good inspiration and good motivation and good advice, and you will feel, boy, a bit of in character, I might just be happy. Why people are living better, having better family life, they are running their careers, they are successful in their careers, responsible workers like me, going to work on Sunday, government know them can depend upon them, Governor General, I will give him throne speech, you know that. Well, I see kind of him, I give good throne speech or whatever. Yeah, man, it's good religion, produce a person like me and inspire the country through my program and all that. That's good. Keep on going, more people like that. You think that would have fulfilled our Christian obligation? You have to be a Christian for that. So you have thought that, well, that is the essence of it. No, it's ignorance. That's not. That group in the 60s still exists, but there were more dynamic 60s called the Black Muslims. A lot of our people were in drug addiction, prostitution, man a pimp off the girls them. And the Black Power movement was secular. And Edgar Hoover come with him thing and buy out other people, because Edgar Hoover used sex and drugs and buy out the revolutionary leaders. After a time, man a blood the system. Edgar Hoover sent out some sexy woman. And when man a go on with all kind of kinky stuff, him tape it. And when man a issue thing and a write article, a man does send that to him and say, your wife going to know about this. But just shut your mouth and leave America alone. Hold on. I saw the man them do it. Because a few men could have keep him pants up. All matter whole revolution. All Martin Luther King, you know. Was a big girl man, you know. The biographies come out. I end up on the march again, big speech. When they big speech, him gone, them women and girls them come that thing, you know. Come here, go through a whole lot of things. All them couldn't control themselves. Mali, 7 different baby mothers, my mother, 1,000,001 picnic and all kind of thing. He was a great man. But them can't control themselves. So after that time, some of them, sometimes some radical priests, you know, they start joining all the Black Power movement. Edgar Hoover find them a man in a hotel room. And when them show the picture, when time comes to demonstrate, a man can't go out there again. You don't know if you read or understand. We're going to the Black Power movement. So Elijah Muhammad comes. And Malcolm and them man there. Of course, Elijah them himself get involved in something. But the man them start teach clean living. I mean, I tell you, the Muslims went in a Chicago, going to Detroit, going to New York, going to Bronx. Take off some hoorah for the road. Some man would have run drugs and the man them change on the way them bow tie and thing and change. Black Muslim movement changed a lot of black people. And people start live up, man start stop drink liquor. No liquor at all, black Muslims drink. A moral revolution. They were not Christians, they were blood Christianity. Moral transformation is not Christianity. Christianity must involve moral transformation, don't get me wrong. Amen. In fact, I'm going to show you this doctrine thing I'm leading to. I'm going to lead you down near to the end to show you why. Why we have to talk so much about inspiration and good advice. I'm going to show you there when I come down to the doctrine of salvation. And when I come to explain to you the doctrine of character development, I'm going to show you why I preach so much about liberty. And why I have to spend time on motivational and inspirational sermon. I'm going to show you why, from a doctrinal framework, why I have to spend a lot of time on that. Because I'm going to show you the centrality of character development. And why we as preachers have to spend a lot of time on the things where other religions have spent time on. But we're going to see it in a context. Why the doctrine of character development is crucial. And why we have to overcome. We are coming soon to the whole doctrines of salvation. Tell us, I wish I could give everything, no, because I'm so excited. I wish I could give everything one time. I feel like I say, all right, yeah, you can't give everything. You feel just one by time and take my time. But there's some myth. So you have some of you here. You don't really want to hear too much about a doctrine business and about a true church. Tired of true church argument. But why? Me only why you give me two different reasons. Why you reason out with me? Because I want you to be consistent. True church, man. Go and tell you how to live. You know, true church. What may I say to you is,
You have no reason to be a part of this group then. I mean, you can't, if you come, if you admit, say you come for social reasons, no problem, continue to come. I love when the place pack up like this. So if you come for social reasons, go. But you must know that you come for. Don't worry if you say you choose this church. Because something, there's nothing special. If you hold the view that the argument about true church and doctrine, well, them things are not really important, then what the deacon say to yourself? You must excite things are going past that, eh? Go to church when I'm more convenient there, man. Jesus has been preaching. And the moral things that you say are the heart of Christianity, that's being taught on a Sunday. Take your work on Saturday and step up in a life. Don't waste time on Saturday coming up. For you, the same thing you can hear in the Sunday church. If it's not about doctrine, if it's not about a true church thing, so why here? Only because feast nice, you'll spend money if you go on a feast. So what about when you're not going to feast and you have to go take off a time in a year prayer? But take off the Friday, you know. After Good Friday, if you take off another Friday, if you're a real Christian, according to my view, you have to take off an inconvenient Friday. Because it's the last day of unleavened bread. We are better with all that for. But that's why it's 1 and 2, we don't come on the days anyway, because we have no more important thing to do. But you can't say you come them days and say, boy, that's not really important. Why? Because all the things about love and forgiveness, let me tell you something. This year church will have no money for the point. And Marge will tell you, in practice, we're worse than almost everyone. So you don't have to come up with that. Great inspirational sermons being preached all over. In fact, you don't have to go to church for that. I can say there's some good optimist club meeting and you get things out of help. You have to do that kind of thing. You don't have to come out of church for that. I'm telling you, probably someone will never know that. No, man, you don't have to go to church for that's what they want. You have never thought about it. You have never really thought about what is Christianity. What makes Christianity unique? Nothing has been mentioned here. Nothing makes it unique. Mackenzie's thing was too vague. Was vague. But Mackenzie come closer. Can Mackenzie come in a truth and seem to be called? So I'm coming in a thing. I understand. I'm going to quote you now. Because remember I said Jason tack on a part which I have to deal with. In back on the part about Jesus' part, we soon come to that. But I have to deal with the main thing because I tell you, Brother Shannon, the main thing with people, if you talk to the average person, the main thing they use to judge Christianity is levity. People know your office. If them call you a Christian, it's not because you're going to church on a Saturday, they're not here. Them say you're a Christian despite your Sabbath. What they look is where they're crying. So like what kind of mild mannered and Christian. Look like a Christian. Very mild mannered, him manageable, him respectful, him work hard, he look like a Christian. I'm telling you where you're going, look like a Christian. Some of you look like playboy, but you know, you look like Christian. Behave like that and talk like Christian and work hard and don't tear down people, don't backbite people. That's what Christianity is. You think about it. People outside. And a lot of people are in church. You try to talk to all Pentecostals and people who go to Methodist church, people who go to Baptist church. I'm inviting you to a lecture in about 3 days and 3 nights. Did Jesus really crucify? Was he really crucified, my friend? What? I don't care. Who does that affect anything? Will you invite me? Is there an immortal soul? What? Tell me what you think about Jesus, my brother. Do you have a relationship with him? That's what I want to know. What are you telling me about whether Jesus crucified on Saturday evening or... This is not relevant. What is relevant is the relationship you have with the Lord. Whether the Lord is working in your life. Whether, you know, you are into the Lord. You are investing in the Lord. You are investing in the kingdom. That's what is important. You go try to talk to your friend about, come, your doctrinal series, your average person could not care less. If you have a family seminar or something, then we come to that. The Christians will tell you them tired of Christians are fight against one another. And people are saying, my God better than your God, my church better than your church. That's all this doctrinal discussion, you know. Yeah, man, you come like your children. No, take away that. Yeah, my man better than your man only, sir. So my church better, my pastor better, my religion better. Armstrong better than Ellen G. White. That is how they reduce this thing, you know. So when you start talking about all doctrine and things, you know, man say, boy, choice is arrogance. Which man know? Which man know everything? Which church have every truth? So all them could think they come, you feel bad after that time, you know. You feel like, boy, you really had one wicked thing when you talk about true church, you know. And somehow they get intimidated too. Somehow they used to burn the fire, get intimidated. And bow and start talking like everybody else. I come here now for bringing us setting a back on track. Because my last days in our church must be solidified. And knowledge. So you're the first thing I was setting straight with now. I'm setting straight with knowledge. I put out a challenge. Christianity, while it must involve moral transformation, it must involve character reform. In fact, I'm going to show you that my theology demands that, whereas Protestantism is not founded on that. That's for another sermon. Christianity is not about forgiveness. Don't take run away, I'm missing something. Christianity is not essentially about forgiveness. Not essentially about love. I shouldn't put that way. But I have to kind of shock into the thing. What I mean is, when I say it's not essentially, what I mean is, it's not exclusive. What makes it Christianity is not the talk about love or forgiveness or those things. Because all the world religions have that. So just think different definition. You know, I've studied philosophy, you know, but me try, me teach things very simply. If essential to a definition is something, then that's something. If what distinguishes something is X, if what distinguishes something is X, X can't be found in other things. That's a simple equation, my girl. I have blackboard, but I put it. If what distinguishes something is X, X cannot be in other things. If that's what distinguishes it. Now, the other things might have X. X might be important to, even essential. Listen to this now, I'm going this far. X might even be essential to. Definition Y. Essential to it. Like I'm putting, forgiveness is essential to Christianity. Love is essential to Christianity. Character reform is essential to Christianity. Clean living is essential to Christianity. So don't waste my time Monday night now with that. Waste my time. Go back over. There is a difference between what is essential to and what is distinctive about. The fact that something is essential doesn't make it distinctive to that system. Am I being understood? I'm being simple. Love, living right, being responsible worker, a good family person is a fact. Somebody doctrine people them. Feel self, as long as them understand correct doctrine, them can treat them wife anyhow. Neglect them children. Or work when them feel like drunk, sleep around, doctor some of my doctrine people, them will that do not put me in that category. Those people are going to hell. Even though they believe in Sabbath and come on Sabbath and keep feast, they're going to hell. So Madge, give me a amen for that. But I know come raise whether me I said that. All that doctrine. No, man. No waste time with that. Them things that are critically essential, basic, elementary. What I'm saying is, if you're going to tell me that is what Christianity is, we're in trouble. Because I don't have to be a Christian to have all of that. I don't know if you're so arrogant. I think it's being arrogant. I don't know if you're so arrogant to feel that only Christians are forgiving. Only Christians are loving. Somebody can say, well, yes, you really need, if you have the Holy Spirit, really, there's a level at which, and I'm not talking about even that, well, boy, there's a level at which the human beings can't, it's not true love, even though it seems like love. You know, someone we talk about here, it might seem like love, but it's not really love because they don't have the real Holy Spirit. We're not going at that level of mysticism there. So, just an example. Come at the stoplight and you give the people and so on. You're not happy to be a Christian if you give them money all the time. And for people turn you in a fool. You're not happy to be a Christian. When you look at all the acts that people look at to say, you're Christian or you're serving this committee and you don't have to be a Christian for that. There are a lot of good non-Christian people doing exactly what some people think is the essence of Christianity. Which church helps poor people more than Catholic Church? Which church helps poor people? Them amongst poor people. You know the whole of downtown, whole of live. You know the big Chinese man could have lived in a Marbrook. You know that 2 PhD whole of, apart from several masters. Soon come to a Christian church. The Catholics, the Catholic priests. Who believe that the Pope is the vicar of Christ. Who believe in bodily assumption of Mary. And have all the Marian doctrine that you find obnoxious. Them do the more social work and help more poor people. And more involved in bettering the world. In that sense, thank God for the Catholic Church. A whole for poor people, thank God for them. I tell you that. Me definitely be there and sleep and I prepare a sermon. A lot of them. Father, them are wash poor people. Or when people are beat off homosexuals, or beat off street people, and the Catholic priests out there at night time, with them, I help them. Thank God for the good work what them are doing. Yes, a lot of Protestants today are not Christians because certain doctrines. I want, therefore, to quote some things. For those of you who don't live abroad, like Mackenzie and others, they know, say, this view that is only Christians are good people. Young people, nobody go to university, what talk nonsense. Because one and two people up there have sense. Most of them, I don't think they have much sense up there. Them just doing degrees to get a job. They're not really intellectually rigorous. It's just a factory to produce people to get work. But a few of them have up there read and are serious intellectuals. I was up there, Department of Philosophy had me up there Tuesday speaking at Research Day. Andrew Wollins was supposed to have been on the panel, but he have so much problem now, he might to hide away. But I was up there speaking to them. But watch this. I am going to give you some quotations from the sacred writings of the world's religions. I'm going to want you to listen to that. Those of you who feel the only Christianity have them thing. I'm going to quote you from a Janus text. Rendering help to another is the function of all human beings. Rendering help to others, to another, is the function of all human beings. That's love. That's in the Janus text. Not exclusive to Christianity. That's what Christianity was defined for. Islam. In one of the hadiths, the best of men are those who are useful to others. Living your life for social, that's in Islam. The best of men are those who are useful to others. So when Christianity said that no one seek his own good but the good of his neighbor, long before Christianity said that. Well, Islam was after. But I can give you Janus, I can give you Hindu texts and other texts, long before Christianity, Buddhist texts, etc. Seek. I'm quoting from a Sikh text. Without selfless service are no objectives fulfilled. In service lies the purest action. That's a Sikh text. Psych age. You don't have to be a Christian for that. The Analects of Confucius. I quote, the man of perfect virtue, wishing to be established himself, also seeks to establish others. Wishing to be enlarged himself, he seeks to enlarge others. That's love. That's in other texts. The Unification Church that teaches Sun Myung Moon was
the return Jesus, a damnable doctrine, a heretical group, an idolatrous group. You know what them had? Love. Love was the essence of unification message. And I quote you from Sun Myung Moon. God's definition of goodness is total giving, total service, absolute unselfishness. We are to live for others. Yes. That is the... I'm going to quote you from our African traditional religion now, Sister Bell. I'll quote you when they don't ask, you must teach them then something. They ask you, when they go up Monday, no, ask them about Christian, when they are Christian. Follow the same experience we do today. Ask them what is a Christian, how they see a Christian, we are going to office Monday. I tell you before, all of them will tell you everything, well, you're good and you live good and you're kind, and when people treat you bad, you're forgiven. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell them, say, that's the other one, but you show them, say, listen, you know, say, the other religions have all them something that there's nothing unique about Christianity. But poor, them don't know better, you know. They feel, say, that's only Jesus, because they're only about Jesus. Let me quote you from African traditional religions. It is not always physical bravery that counts. One must have courage to face life as it is, to go through sorrows and always sacrifice oneself for the sake of others. African traditional religions have that. We, as black people, we have our own religions. We teach with anything there. We never need no white man religion or Chinese man religion or Indian man religion. We black people are our religion. Who taught us the values? Two. You hear about the Stoics? The Stoics, them were not thieves. I could bring them a Stoic text. A Stoicism has positively affected me. Hold on. You talk about love? You talk about turning the other cheek? If you read some things where Seneca say, where Marcus Aurelius say, where Epictetus say, if I carry someone the text, the Stoic text, long before Jesus. And Stoics tell you how to forgive, how not to take on any problems. That's where you have the thing, the Stoic approach to life. When Jesus come and I tell man, well, I live good, you know, think positive, he never said nothing new. What he brought about that was new, the news that he brought was that the kingdom of God was coming. That is what was revolutionary about Jesus. What was revolutionary was his doctrine. It was not the good things that he taught about living. Because he was preceded by some great texts, including the Old Testament that he was preached from. It is not the moral virtues which distinguish Christianity. It is the doctrines of Christianity. It is not the good moral teachings, in case you're ignorant enough to believe that. It is the theology, the doctrines that are so despised. And some of your fears are going to add on. Well, you have to listen to some doctrine sometime, but really they have to be a better person. Yes, they have to be a better person. But later on, I see, I'm going to show you why. When we come to the doctrine of character development. But in case you feel that all you're about is be a better person, you don't have to be here for that. I can recommend some good churches where if all you want is moral reform and to be a better person and to have more peace in your life, I can have some place that I could recommend. You don't have to take as long as my tour sermon. You get a nice 35-minute meditation and some good songs, and your week would be very nice. You have a happy week, a positive week, a very inspiring week. You deal with your problems and your frustration and depression very well. You need to understand why you are here. And at least the called must understand. If the rest can't come, I tell them, I already stop nobody from coming here. Come with your friend and think, don't bother stop the place. Nice, come on. As long as you behave yourself and all that kind of thing. You know, you're welcome here. But the called, the elect must have a sense of their identity. The elect must know what they are about.
So I've gotten that out of the way. It's not about morality. So all the things that were said about good leader and thing, and tall man, I said, what do you teach about Christianity today? Always say about leave, God, that's not Christianity. That is not Christianity, my dear friend. In fact, I have a book here that I discovered last week. Just come out, just learn to be then come out. It's called Christianity Without God. Written by a former priest who is now an atheist. He claimed himself an atheist. He was a Catholic priest. Brilliant fellow. Danny Maguire. Christianity Without God. Moving beyond the dogmas and retrieving the epic of moral narrative. You know what I'm saying? He go further than even others. Even this thing about whether God exists. You can still follow the Bible. You never follow it. Don't follow the miracle part. Just take the good part where Jesus talked about love and things. Forget about all this about him come back and him resurrected. Nonsense. Myth. He not come back no way. There's no God. He was praying to no Father up in heaven and things. But he was a good moral teacher. Would he teach you some nice thing? Make we take that. Recovering the moral thing. Christianity without God. Don Cupid has just come out with a book called Creative Faith. Cupid said the same thing, line. Forget all these myths. He just died on a cross and the Chalcedonian creed and ethnic. Forget all those myths. That's nothing went go like that. But Jesus is a man who died selflessly for people and things. That is what you need to talk about. Talk about Jesus as this selfless, loving man. And forget about all of these myths. Because they are bright enough to know so that was not unique about Christianity. What is unique are the very doctrines which people find obnoxious. So, let's come down now to the part that Jason tapped on. That is the answer to me, you know. The answer is, the difference with the people in the churches is them believe in Jesus. So all these texts that I quote now, them say, yeah, but it's true. But them people, they don't accept Christ. The Buddhists and the Confucians don't accept Christ. So they reframe their narratives. And they at least though, they can't reframe it without acknowledging something that I have forced them to acknowledge. That this all of this prior emphasis on the good living and good advice and thing, I force them now to say that is not the essence of Christianity. So don't just move so seamlessly without acknowledging that I have had to force you from that. Because before you go on like that, it was a big thing. Before you were saying, why am I making so much about doctrine and true church? Those concepts are irrelevant. May I say then, why you not carry it as far as Maguire if you don't believe in the true church and true doctrine? Why we have to believe in the Bible that it inspired? We not could just take the parts, the good parts, like how we take things from Shakespeare and all kind of thing. Yeah, man, we take things from Shakespeare and we take all that great literature. We take things from the Iliad and all them kind of things. Why could we just use it like that then, no? We not have to believe in the sacred things. I've had Seventh-day Adventists who come here getting very annoyed with me. Come here telling themselves they're not keep feast days and so on, something around. They're very annoyed and walk away. But they must say, imagine we are keep Sabbath and hours and you're still a beat for pounds. And we are great Sabbath keepers. You still want more from we. So the question therefore is, what is it to accept Jesus as Lord? So Jason said, we have to have Jesus as Lord. What is it? What must be the minimum we must accept that Jesus as Lord? I want to tell you something. And this morning in the Sabbath school, I came out. When Jason accept as Lord, the council is condemned because Jason believed that Jesus was created by God. And yet himself a Christian. The early councils condemned anyone who did not accept that Jesus was very God and very God. So even when you come And we're going to talk with Christians. Are the Jehovah's Witnesses Christians? The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Christ was not God. He didn't always exist with God. Are the Jews? And look how dedicated they are. All the moral things that Madge are impressed with. The witnesses outshine us as the people of God with that. I'm going to quote you from the early creeds of the church. Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creeds. So we're looking at what is Christianity. And we have shown what it is not. And we're moving on to what it is in our series. And I'm challenging everyone who believes in Bible. If you don't believe in Bible, what are we thinking? I might lead you if I say, don't. The ideas where you have. You can't have them if you believe in the Bible. May I tell you that? Either you come to a universal view now, that universal goodness. But anyhow, you deal about Christianity unique. You have to come where? To my narrow view. I'm going to quote you from the early creeds. So some people say, let us bring down Christianity to the barriers. Christ came, died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, was resurrected the third day. He ascended into heaven, and him going to come back. As long as you believe that you are a Christian. Whether you sat the Sunday believing, paid your baptism, whatever, there's a basic. I want to ask you then, what's the minimum a person must believe to be a Christian? I didn't start the question that way. Because I didn't know some people are talking about morality, so I didn't want to talk about belief. Because most of the time people talk about Christianity, it's not belief them talk about, them talk about liberty. Most time when people talk about how them judge Christian. Brother O'Connor, when a man see a man and say him look like a Christian, sometimes the man never even talk, Brother O'Connor. So you know, say, him not talking about the man that talk about Jesus. When he saying look like a Christian, he mean he look humble, he look kind. That's how people judge Christianity. So implicitly, is morality. A person always positive, man. Other people depressed, but the person always positive. The person is always well motivated. A person must have a Christ. A person says he must have a peace of Christ. That is how people judge Christianity. People don't judge Christianity by theology. In fact, they're resentful when you come about doctrines. Listen, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't believe in religion. No. I'm not into religion. I'm into relationship. I'm not into religion. I'm into relationship. That's all they're talking. You know. I'm into relationship. So I want to know. Religion only brings wars and division and hate and arrogance and all of these kinds of things. I just want to know about your relationship. Do you love the Lord? That's all I want to know. Do you love the Lord? I don't really care about what day you worship. Or do you love the Lord? What did you come to? I don't know the thing. People are not into the thinking and the idea and the creeds and so on. It's early days of Christianity. Nowadays, why is how you live? So Christianity has been reduced to just a way of life. Christianity is not just a way. I know Ted used to talk about way of life. Christianity is not just a way of life. Christianity is not just a way of life. I know we have said that. They have disagreed with Billy Graham. Billy Graham said that one day. I tell you something. I confess this, Billy Graham. It is not just a way of life. Now I realize that Billy Graham did that talk about. Billy Graham is not just a way of life. It's a way of life. It is not just that. Because when we talk about way of life, other religions have it. Anyway. So coming down, what is the minimum? So I didn't ask the question first because man, no, in a belief. What is the minimum then a person have to believe in order to be a Christian? Now that we have disposed of, we have now come to see, it's not about morality alone. We have dispensed, I hope the quotation I've given are enough. We have dispensed with the view, say it's about moral transformation. Because Mackenzie, you agree with me, you can have moral transformation. and all of these things. And still, in other words, there are Buddhists saying, when you're there in England, you meet some man from a different religion, they were good people. I don't know if you ever meet the Baha'i yet. You have man from groups called Ekenkar and Ananga Maga. What for religion out there, you know? Good people. All right. So, you and I agree, you know, Mackenzie. We also have to agree, Brother Mackenzie, that even in the true church, we don't all agree and say the same thing. Even in the true church, some of us can have error, and even the true church can have some errors. I will let you know. I feel the true church can have some errors. But there needs to be a minimum. There must be a minimum that people must have to constitute the true church, or a minimum that a person must believe to be considered a true Christian. You see what I mean? Because remember, you know, Mackenzie, we don't know everything. No church, even the true church, knows everything, and no Christian knows everything. So because of that, Brother Mackenzie, there must be at least an irreducible core, a minimum that we must have to reach the threshold. You see what I mean, Shannon? I passed him first test Monday night. He had a sharp question, but he understand me clearly. Passed my test, he left early, because he understand exactly what I did. Follow me again this week. Because even a true church, I go further too. You could have some groups that have some truths that the true church don't have. I don't believe this is one, but suppose you find out a church that shows a boy, black man are the real Israelite.
Oh, yeah.
You have somebody that claimed that, right? And our man has said, boy, the Americans, our leader, you know, he was American, he said, boy, the American. Suppose our man like Dewey write about that. You have some people, you know, left, you know, because a man out there have that truth. And we don't really have it in the problem. We're not looking at that yet. That boy, black man. We're the Israelite. If you don't understand this thing about what is the gospel, you're going to run and left all where you have, you know. Because we're not saying that. A truth, that man, we don't really have it in us. Because we never looking at that. And a man really have that truth that we never have. So I even hold that the true church, know if you have all truth, and you have some other groups out there, we have some things that we don't have that are true. So you have to know to weigh truth. Because you don't left a whole heap where you have. Pick up your man one thing. Because suppose, many of them wrong on this, but suppose all the tongues thing was true. Suppose when you speak in tongues, you didn't get certain things done, but that's not, we don't reach this yet. Probably next 5 years we might come to that, but the tongues, but we don't reach us yet. Would it mean now, say, a man who not have that, him not a Christian? It could have mean, say, a man a Christian, him is a Christian, but he does not have that truth yet. Probably next 5 years when God reveals it, we have it. So what we are, there must be a minimum. What is the minimum that a man must believe to be considered a Christian? Because remember, you know, you have even a church of God, you know. Some different groups. You have some weird man, them like Florian, them man, they have some weird doctrine. Dave Pack, no, him declare himself, say, him my Elijah. Him our tree party, him say, why, him my Elijah. Armstrong was Moses, him Elijah. If we don't accept him, we are going to a great tribulation. The whole are we united, the whole are we going to get beat, nothing. Madman, but who love? But we could still be true. And him could be true. Probably him is Elijah. But it wouldn't mean, in other words, even the true church, we have, because you check, even the church here, you know, we have different beliefs here. Even though we're a true church, all of we don't believe the same thing. But all of us could be Christians. So you can have diversity among Christians, you know. I know that. You can have diversity among Christians. Because suppose one of us really believes. You know them church, they write when we look on it. Say Christ really crucified on a Friday. Suppose a man in that church that really believe that. Suppose somebody here really believe. Because we teach, you know, that Enoch and Elijah, some of you don't know. We teach that Enoch and Elijah did not really go into effort. Suppose a man read that, say, you know, Sam Shangra, you know, Enoch and Elijah really did not effort. Because the fact that Enoch and Elijah are in heaven, it don't mean that it disturbs our doctrine that people don't generally go to heaven. It could be that God in his sovereign will, God in his sovereign will, could bring up Enoch and Elijah. Who tell me that God can't do that? God could have bring up Enoch and Elijah in heaven. And it don't mean that there's an immortal soul. So don't tell me that God couldn't bring up. And don't tell me that because it's a first resurrection and because the idea of the first fruit, well, that would kill the idea of the first fruit. No! First fruit theology is a general thing. But God in his sovereignty take two men and carry up there in heaven with him. I'm not asking if you believe it now. I'm telling you it could happen. Suppose a brother around the back believe that. And he is wrong. What do you say? He's not a Christian. So what I'm asking is, follow me now. What's the minimum? We have to reach a stage where there's a minimum that you must believe in order to be a Christian. Outside of that, quite frankly, you can even have some errors, but you're still a Christian. I hate to admit it, but Florian, the man I told you, well, I feel hard for you to say it, you know. They are Christians, and they feel hard. Florian was fanatic, goes nuts. I don't think God has sent no people. But we hope that people are going to them cults. But in other words, they are sick parts of the body. But if Florian have the gospel, Pack have the gospel, why not have the gospel? Well, I mixed up with something. I can say that even though I'm not the man, I know them wrong. Because I believe there's a minimum, and the man them have the minimum. What's the minimum? It's a very important series, you know. Let me hear your thing. I'm not want to leave it for a thing. You know? I'm hear the definitive thing. Right? I just want to leave another thing. So when we say now, my dear sister, Sophia camera on the back here. When we say we believe in Jesus, like Sister Sophia was saying, boy, you know, the Lord died for her. It's good. The Lord died for her. But we love Sister Sophia. The Lord died. What you know, Sister Sophia, that the Lord died. How do you know that the Lord dying secures your salvation? How you know him died for the sins of the world? Could you believe, and do you have to believe that he is God to believe that he died for the sins of the world? Because you could believe he died for the sins of the world and that is appropriation for sin. But he don't have to be God. Would he have to be God for that? In other words, even when you say you accept Jesus, what does it mean to accept Jesus? Well, if you understand me, I get that, man. Even if you say you accept Jesus, because you have some churches that say, and by the way, a number, even the Seventh-day Adventists know them, they're getting very liberal. Number of Adventists now start to say, boy, listen to me now. We're not an exclusivism business now. Got have people in all church. And boy, from people acknowledge him. From you acknowledge him. It is just that the Sabbath is true. And eventually, it will lead them to that. Well, let me even ask a question and put this way. We believe that the Sabbath and the holy days are truth. Our members, before they became members and baptized here and started keep Sabbath and holy days, were they Christians before they were baptized in this church? Because you could be Christians. And it's just as the Bible says, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. There's a process. So you were really a Christian from you down there with Harris. But does that the Lord now probably show you the sins here and him lead you to a greater amount of truth? But it's not since you come to that truth that you're a Christian. You're a Christian for his time, for you accept Jesus. And you from you were saved. What year you were saved again, Brother Mackenzie? You were saved in 87. Alright. So from you, you were saved in 87. But you learned about this greater truth recently. But he's saved in 87. Alright. How does Brother Mackenzie know him was saved in 87? No, let me question. No, wait. Let me be answered, brother. Give me a mic. Tell us. How do you know what you were saved in 87? Let's just say it. That's a matter of interest. Not to just, I mean, come walk quick with the thing, with the mic. This is the man, but you need to know the brethren's names. Only you want to know one another, but to not keep feast. But anyway.
Well,
don't feel anyway, but we're just having a thing. Huh? How you know you were safe from medicine?
Well, we were having a house worship, and it was, I discovered subsequently that it was a Sabbath morning.
Yes.
We got up on
special
the
day, man.
4th of October,
okay.
1987. It was a first of Tishri.
Tishri,
I discovered that.
4 times after, yeah, man. One special 10 month, man, yes.
And then
Please
I just found myself quoting some scriptures that I didn't learn. I didn't know.
Must have been God put in your mind.
Yeah, and then my mother started to look up the scripture, and it was Acts, the book of Acts, that says, repent and be baptized.
Okay.
So that you'll be, sins will be something or the other.
Yes,
but
yes.
But I didn't know it was in the Bible.
Okay, so the scriptures came to you.
Right.
So your feet are because the scriptures came to you.
Right. And from then, I just started to stop going to parties.
Stop going to parties, you live a good day, yes? Cut off the woman.
Not at the same time, sir. But
I know, yeah. Woman thinks they're going to go, we understand that one. That one they had. You know, but, you know. Yeah, move on. Then. Party easier. Yeah. But, all right, so.
A change.
So the change, So you, so it's a change, so you go back to the change life.
Yeah.
But you realize, though, Brother McKenzie, that a lot of other people, things happen to them. I've heard Mormons give experience about things happening. Others, they get experience and then life change. In other words, could it have been that even though the scriptures came to you, that you weren't really saved? How would you be absolutely certain?
Yes.
What was it that you believed at the time? What conviction you came under that you're sure said why you were saved that time?
I just had
what was the evidence?
I had this passion for the Bible.
So you had a passion for the Bible?
To seek truth.
Ah.
Yes, from the Bible.
So that passion for the Bible. All right.
Yeah.
But remember, as we covered last week, it is not so much our passion for the Bible and our sincerity.
No.
Because there is a human thing that leads to that.
Yeah.
But it's a call. Now, it could have been that was the call activated. But we need to go. It's all right. We can take the mic from you. Ah. But that is why it is important for us to see, was that the salvation? Is that all people are saved? What's the minimum? Well, there are the creeds. Some people bring it down to some basics. Let's go to the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him were all things made. So the belief in the Father, the belief in the Son, we believe that through him all things were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will be no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. Yeah. Worship the Holy Spirit. So what's the minimum? Is it this? Is it the belief in the death of Christ? Now some will say, boy, once people believe in the death of Christ, then boy, they are Christians. In other words,
Let's look at it. The people are coming from Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let's go even further, even from the Sunday churches. Should we really baptize over people? But why? Why would rebaptism be necessary? If people are already Christians, all you do is you recognize that God has led them in a progressive understanding of Him. And they have already been baptized in Christ. There's no need for a further baptism. So therefore, it is very important for us to establish at what point a person becomes a Christian. Is it that a person has to believe some things? Are there minimum beliefs that people must have? These are things you must think as we're going to series, you know. Series is very important, you know. What's the minimum? Jason, who put in the law, Jason does not believe in the Athanasian Creed and the Nicene Creed, the Chalcedonian Creed and the Apostles' Creed that say that Jesus was very God. He believes that Jesus was created by the Father. These Orthodox Christians will say, Jason is not a Christian by that view. But Jason believes that Christ died for him. Jason believes that he rose from the dead. Jason believes he's coming back. Can we prove that because Jason does not believe that Jesus is God and always exists? Is that belief so big that it should exclude him from being a Christian? The Orthodox churches that said they are broad-minded say yes. You think it's just me alone? The Catholics and the Protestants say that he needs to understand that. Why do you think the Catholics had this thing about heretics? Why did they call people heretics? And Martin Luther called people heretics. It wasn't just Catholics. The people who believe like Jason, they were burnt at the stake, you know. Yes, Arius and these people were killed. Socinius was killed. It's because they live in a secular democratic society. They cannot have anything to bully somebody. So, man, come and lock him and kill him. Years ago, they killed people who denied the divinity of Jesus. That's why the Ebionites and Nazarenes are, yes. So it's very important that we establish what is this minimum. Don't tell me now that boy, I'm thinking that I brought you. It is very, don't just tell me, leave it at boy, well, Christ died for you. Because, Sister Sophia, him believe like you, that Christ died for everything you believe. What you believe, that Jesus is God. Well, if you say you're not a Christian. If the broad-minded people, I mean, I talk about broad-minded Protestants, you're not a Christian. Because that's why they call Jehovah's cults. Why do they call Mormons cults? Because Mormons don't have an orthodox view of God. Because I read you the creeds. And I could read you all from Trent, what Trent tell you. In fact, the Apostles' Creed. This is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified and died and was buried. And the Catholic Church says he descended to the dead. This was a part. Well, this was a part of the doctrine that he went to the dead. And for them time the way you was Armstrong at peace and the really dead. He was not really dead, but he went to the dead. And he was preaching to the spirits in prison in the dead. The Apostles' Creed said that. Who couldn't sign the Apostles' Creed? So how do you define Christianity? You cannot define Christianity by moral transformation. We already blew that out of the way. Even the people who call us narrow, they come bringing Sabbath and them foolishness. Even them who call us narrow, they have people whom they exclude. Can they exclude Jason who feels him so much with God?
So how are we going to settle it? By who believe what creeds? The Catholic Church. That's to them also. The Catholic Church that believes that does all of the good. The Catholic Church asks you to, before you are baptized, the Catholics ask you this. You have to answer these questions before you're baptized in the Catholic Church. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of a Virgin Mary? Suppose a person believes in Jesus, but sees him was, that Mary wasn't a virgin. Oh, really? Suppose she did have sex before. The Catholics who are so broad-minded, others who are so broad-minded. They say you have to believe in the virgin birth. Why is that so crucial? Not only do the Catholics believe that Jesus was a virgin, that Mary was a virgin. Do you know the Catholics believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary? That Mary was always a virgin afterwards? She had a husband, yeah, but she never went to that. That's Catholic doctrine. That God preserved that womb was holy. The womb was holy, and God preserved that holy womb. Aye, she have children, the Bible says. The Catholics will tell you, when they're going to the Greek, the children mean cousins, the same thing that talk about children. The Greek can mean him cousins, and it doesn't mean that same thing. When it says Jesus had brothers, it does not mean it had brothers. That's how where theology come in. The Catholics believe in the perpetual virginity. But then the Catholics believe, you have something about that in the Bible. The Catholics believe that in addition to the Bible, they have something called sacred tradition. We're not body shorts when we go to canteen till 5:30. Hold up. And the Catholics believe in the body assumption of Mary. Well, everybody assumes. But that Mary has a particular position and Mary is a co-redemptor. Mary, along with her son pleading for us. You only believe that why Jesus is up there and him interceding. Not Jesus alone, Mary. So the priests who do all of those good work, what up? Someone was shocked by that when they revolted. But the things that you see Christianity has, the Catholics are out there ahead. Oh, the good works that you identify Christianity have, the people who hold these obnoxious beliefs. But hold up, I'll give you a belief. Wouldn't just think so well, Joe, that's just the Eucharist. Hold up. Blood and body. I bet you even who know don't understand how blasphemous the Eucharist is. All you know is that the Catholics believe that the wine becomes. Do you know what the Catholics believe? That the wine actually literally becomes the blood of Jesus when you drink it? Do you know that the doctrine of transubstantiation says that when you eat the bread, that is the literal body? But that's not. But then you might say, well, they're just wrong on that. That's not all that's abominable about that. I'm going to quote you something from the Council of Trent and all that. First, let me quote something from the Bible. Why that is wrong? We don't even understand the theology of the Catholic. We don't even understand. You see that? It's what them call Eucharist, what them take every day. Many of you believe that the only difference between us and the Catholics. Sometimes don't even know how many of you going on the text of yesterday, but God, they're weak, sick, oh. All right, and I haven't started my text of yesterday, but go to the war food, and so I want to come through the friends of you, so I don't have trouble with the fellowship, because I want to come back next week. So here one now. Here are our brethren. I'm going to show you a group. We accept Jesus, Catholics. Accept the minimum. Because we are going now and say, well, we are extreme. Someone is talking about true church and things. We could go now to basic. People that live right and so on and believe in Jesus. Catholics believe in Jesus. Catholics believe in divinity. You see the Eucharist? You only feel the difference that we believe in a Passover once a year. Catholic can take it morning, noon, and night. That is not the only difference between us, between the Passover and the Eucharist. It is not just a matter of the frequency of the time. The Catholics believe in the soul, in what is called the real presence. The Catholics believe that they are engaged in a sacrament. We believe that Passover is a symbol. There's a difference between a symbol and a sacrament. Sacrament is a salvific agent. We believe that when Jesus talks, it is merely a symbol. So the blood represents the blood. The bread represents. The Catholics are known, by the way, I don't know this. I'm going to shock you now. Do you know what Luther? Luther and the reformers did not disagree with Rome about the Eucharist. The Lutherans believe in the Catholic doctrine. They attack them on indulgence and a whole lot of things. Luther, the theology. Of course, the Lutherans believe it. And Calvin believed in the Eucharist. No! No! The quarter decimal, the belief in the Eucharist, what this Eucharist is. We say that the Passover is a symbol. And we say it represents. Catholics say no. The Eucharist represents. This one, listen to me, you know. The Eucharist, every time the communion is given, it represents Jesus' sacrifice. Listen, because some of them, if you don't understand the profound errors of some of these churches. All I can tell you, Hebrews 7, 27 says, unlike the other priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. So you need to know this. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus gave a once for all sacrifice. The Catholic doctrine that every time the Eucharist is served, the sacrifice is represented, is blasphemous. Because Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a once for all, as Hebrews 10 tells us. You cannot represent that all again. And there's a reason why the priest alone can represent the Eucharist. We need to understand all them things. We need to understand how them to the priest. As a man who is in the place of Christ. And why only the priest can serve the sacraments. Hebrews 9:12 says, him enter the holy place once for all, taking in blood and obtain eternal redemption is once for all. Any doctrine that has him represent, you know the day, you know the Catholic Church, every time the Eucharist, the communion is taken, them say it is this, it's Calvary all over again. Oh, well, I'm going to quote you, Trent. Hebrews 9:26, he has appeared once for all at the end of ages to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 10:10-14, and by this will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. Once for all. So when you even go to the creeds, and if you even go to it, well, what do we believe about Jesus? Let him die on the cross and so on. So don't leave it at that. Because there's a lot involved there. There are people like Jesus who don't believe he was God. People like the Catholics who rightly believe that he was God. But believe that for them sacrifice when they have Eucharist is the Lord, the Lord sacrifice over and over. But let me quote you from the Council of Trent, which is one of the famous Roman Catholic councils. Let me quote you. Let me tell you how they explain the Eucharist. Let me go to one next week. We'll come. Let me tell you how they do it. In this divine sacrifice, which is celebrated in the Mass, the same Christ who offered himself once in a bloody manner on the altar of the cross is contained and offered in an unbloody manner. Therefore, the Holy Council teaches that the sacrifice is truly propitiatory. What? Propitiatory, which meaning, Olaf. Whereas we believe in a once for all propitiation on the cross, that Jesus do it on the cross. The Catholic Church, that's why the Catholic Church has taught that they are the only true church. If you don't come to them and take the sacraments, you cannot be saved. People come from the Catholic Church says you are saved through the sacraments. That is why the Protestants are the problem. But Luther accepted it. The Catholic Church teaches that what Jesus did on the cross, what Jesus did on the cross was not enough. You have to go through the priest, and the Eucharist represents that propitiatory. That means that what Jesus took on the cross is not enough. So that if we draw near to God with an upright and true faith, with fear and reverence, we may receive mercy and grace that I take the place of Jesus and the intercessory role. Jesus in the intercessory role is doing and him carrying out in furtherance of Wembley and Calvary. The Catholic Church, who for them priesthood, them kept over that role. Them put Mary up there with him. And them down as a priest. Take over. The Catechism of the Council of Trent says, listen to it. The Church, that the Church might have a perpetual sacrifice by which our sins might be expiated. Yes! The Catholics believe that your sins are expiated through the sacrament of the Eucharist, that it was not done on the cross. You telling me that we understand what Christianity is? Even by these minimum standards, even by these minimum standards of believing in Jesus, we have serious problems. Even before I go into the matter of the gospel, the kingdom of God, even before I touch the commandments and all of those things, serious problems if I even look at the creeds. That the church might have a perpetual sacrifice by which our sins might be expiated, and our Heavenly Father, oftentimes grievously offended by our crimes, might be turned away from wrath to mercy, from the severity of justice. Well, them say, when you want to take that, a true that, will God turn away from him wrath? So the Catholic Church will play a role of Jesus. That is blasphemy. When you say, well, the Catholic Church that them carrying Christmas and things, no, it's worse than that. Might not be the same thing, Holy Cross, but it's worse than that. Vatican II in the 60s, listen to Vatican II now. The ministerial priest, by the sacred power he enjoys, molds and rules the priestly people. Acting in the person of Christ, acting in the person of Christ, he brings about the Eucharistic sacrifice and offers it to God in the name of all the people. For their part, the faithful join in the offering of the Eucharist by their holy priesthood. So the priest now has that role. But Jesus supposed to have. Yet most of the good works done by them. If good works on them think they define Christianity. And we don't have to look at doctrine. If we don't have to look at doctrine. If all we have to do now is just look at man who do miracles. We look at miracles. We look at the great things to be done. Well, next week, we go on. As we go on now in the show, in the series, next week I'm going to go on. We're identifying them. We're just cutting away the layers them first. We're cutting away layers. We're cutting away layers. We establish the importance of doctrine. You left here today and you will feel so, well, boy, yeah, my brethren, I mean, all, you know, all of us are one, you know, and boy, it doesn't really matter what you believe, you know, as long as you accept Jesus. What does it mean to accept Jesus? What does it mean to accept that he died? What died? What up? When he said Jesus died for the whole world, what does it mean? Do we contribute anything at all to our salvation? Or did Jesus just die on the cross? Meaning, when Jesus died on the cross to save mankind, does it mean we are saved already? Did he do everything? There are questions about that, you know. What does it really die? Because think of it. Well, I'll make you something before you leave. O'Connor, you're a theologian. If Jesus take our punishment already, the punishment for sin, if Jesus paid it already, how can a man be lost? Or nobody jeopardy that. If Jesus paid all of mankind's sins, both the sins past and sins to come, how can a man be lost? That will be double payment to God. If God, in Jesus, if Jesus satisfied the propitiatory demand of a just God, if he paid it and satisfied, how can your sins, if he paid for you, how can your sins keep with thy kingdom? That is why Calvin might look like a fool, but Calvin said, those who Christ saved, him saved effectually, you can't lose your salvation again. And Calvin said, by the way, if it depends on free will, some good free will discussion, careful now. Jerome said, well, after they want to talk to me about free will and God, come and say, God down of free will. And in mine excited, but said, well, I want to talk about that. Man, I'm young people, I get excited about doctrine. If God has already demanded, if Jesus Christ, if free will, if is God dependent on our free will for us to be saved? So that means, Carrie, if God depends on our free will to be saved, it could mean same die upon the cross and theoretically possible that nobody will be saved. That means that if death could be a waste. Because if our salvation depends on our free will and not upon God's sovereign will. Yes, of course, theoretically. That means that theoretically, brother, nobody is saved. Because it depends on free will. Or is that a myth? Is it that works are not required at all? Well, I'm going to take this thing easy, you know. The doctrine of salvation, I think it's so easy. A lot of issues are involved in the doctrine of salvation. Me and you with our problems and our sins, and tell the truth. At what point you bridge in our church? At what point do you really show us I want to save? Tell the God truth. Many of them have doubt here right now they want to save. I want to go and save. Not you. We live in a perpetual guilt. We have a doctrine. Our doctrine of character development. Putting up on a perpetual roller coaster. Sometimes we feel someone wants to save. Sometimes we feel someone wants to die to save. We'll have. That's why the Protestants say our religion, we're damaging you psychologically. You know what I mean? I know one doctor says too. No, nobody's a point. The Protestants say our religion. The reason, you know, the Protestants say we are damaged people. Our preaching, my preaching about character development. Because the assurance where them supposed to have about them salvation, or can you know it? What people wouldn't have it? Because we still feel, say, why, we have to come, thing, we have to come, South meeting, we have to come, Monday meeting, we have to come, Friday meeting, we have to do this, we have to go to a feast, we have to do all them things there to be saved. So the doctrine of salvation, what part do works play? How much does God do? And can we really be assured? We have come to Passover, you know, so my doctrinal series are going to lead right into that. It's not as easy as we'll take it. A lot of people say, why are we believing in Jesus, accept Jesus? What does it mean to accept Jesus? What does it mean to accept his sacrifice? You still have to keep Sabbath, then how much Sabbath? They have to keep tithe and don't watch. And at what point? Who went decide? So our doctrine is critically important. You see why it is important for us to understand what is this thing called Christianity. As we come down to the close, I want to quote you Galatians 1. Show your important doctrine was. How important Paul said doctrine was. I want to quote Galatians 1. A whole heap of text leave, but a whole heap of weeks to come. Let's keep on coming. It's the most exhaustive series I've ever had in the history of Church of God here. Taking it not from the point of view of when you in Second John, sorry, Immortal, so I've dealt with all of those scattered doctrines before, but taking it from the foundation, leading your right, you have never had that in all these years. With a bad flu or corona or whatever, on a better take whatever, fight it and come here, come with the coughing same way, but take a, don't miss this. Don't try to get it pan tape. Very important that you understand these things. A lot of things to come. Paul in Galatians 1 and verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace and turned into a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel. Paul says only one gospel. Yeah, but where that one Lord is, you're the apostle, you're going to church of God 7 days next week. You better come back and learn about that. And a church of God 7 days next week. Oh, one Lord. You need to come yourself and you are one Lord, one baptism is. There is not another gospel. What is that gospel? Next week we ain't going that again. But there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? Paul taught it was important. Paul taught that doctrine was important. Paul never said, boy, I want to live all right, you know, and I really care what gospel you have, you know. No, that view was not held by Paul. Paul said, even if we who teach you are an angel from heaven, come and teach you something else, let that person be accursed. It's so important, true doctrine was. You realize the government of that? Paul said, don't depend on persons for the truth. Don't depend on this man is a minister. This man, you don't depend on that. Watch every minister. Examine every minister. Scrutinize every minister with the word of God. Paul said, if we even change our minds, get up on the wrong side, or Satan use us. Do not go. If we are anybody teach us the contrary, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we have said before, and now I say again, if everyone is preaching to your gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. It is important, therefore, for us to understand what is the true gospel. And I'm going to end with a text which I never used before. Deuteronomy 13, next week we're going to more it. The last thing Satan will use to trick a lot of people is signs and wonders. Miracles. I'm going to come with miracles galore. And some people were impressed with good living. But when dramatic miracles come, and that will impress people. And that will turn people. The Bible from the Torah set up something. You see, later in the Bible, when Paul said, Satan will come with lying, deception. For those who what? Refuse to love the truth. Hold off. That was in the Torah. I'm going to leave you with a passage. I'm going to leave you with an important passage. It don't matter what excitement I go on in the church outside. So. You have to judge according to the law and the testimony. It don't matter what miracles. And don't tell me, say, boy, I fake. You see the woman who threw her stick, boy, the pastor and said empty, no, man. So this week, me tape some woman who come, woman with a brain tumor. You go blind. Was skeptical. And she classified her, left all university. And she stopped by a certain preacher. And the man prayed for her and barrier breaker service. And she left and go to KPH. And the man, I look on the. I don't understand where must be. Because where must be on chart and where must be examining out. He said, but me can't understand where it is. But he said, anyway, go to Apex. Go to a big place. Go to Apex. Tumor gone. Tumor gone. In the name of Jesus. What do you mean? Gone! Take a flight! I don't believe that nobody set up a county life on my program. A whole lot of things are going on. You see, when you don't hold the doctrine, when you don't hold the doctrine, all them things there move you. When you don't hold the doctrine and people are live good and them transform and so on, say, boy. And you say, up a hypocrisy, and you go on to that church. You say, couldn't be a true church, you know. Better go follow them people, you go on well. In the Torah, this is the one, let me leave you with. That's what I want to do, if you know this in the Bible, Deuteronomy 13. If a prophet or a dreamer dream arises among you and gives you a sign and wonder, hold up. Him give you a sign and wonder. It happened. If the sign and wonder he tells you comes to pass, you have some man that says, well, make me judge. If it don't come to pass, you know, fast man. It come to pass. What you must do, it come to pass. Me leave you with this. For your comeback, we get more next week. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams. The Lord is only testing you to know whether you love Yahweh. You shall walk, verse 4, after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. If the dreamer of dreams or the prophet tells you something which is not in the law and is contrary to the commandments, it does not matter the miracles. Deuteronomy 13 tells you that. You look to the doctrine. Doesn't matter what you call the power. Doesn't matter what you call the great power, whether righteousness or great miracles or whatever. If it comes to pass and the man is not teaching the commandments, and not teaching the gospel, you do not follow him. We don't kill him like that time.
No.
But you do not follow him. My brethren, the truths that God has revealed to his church in the last days, Jude said we must contend for that faith which was once for all delivered unto the holy saints of God.